Exodus 3. Two verses I want to read this morning. Exodus chapter 3, you got it? Beginning at verse 13. It said, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?'" Verse 14 says, "And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" I believe these two words are very poignant today, and that's the title of this message today, is I Am. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you. We thank you, Lord God. We thank the great I Am. And pray, Lord God, you're anointed upon this time, Lord, as we prepare for the Word. We prepare to break the bread of life, Lord. I pray right now that, Lord, your anointing will just continue to rest upon this place. That you'd anoint me, O God, in spite of me, and help me, Lord God, to speak what thus saith the Lord God, the great I Am. And I pray, Lord, that as we hear the words of your that you have for us, may it change us, transform us, O God, and make us, Lord God, in more like you, into your image, and pray your will be done. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to kind of walk through this for just a moment and go back a minute on, or go back a little bit on this passage and walk through this. I didn't want to read all that and because it's quite a bit, but I want us to get this kind of walk through this because we know this, most of you know, we know the story of Moses going up on the mountain. But let's just kind of, if you got your Bible, just keep them open and kind of walk. Let's go back. Let's flash back for a minute, okay? Go back up to verse 3 for a second. And let's kind of walk through this because there's some things I believe there's some telling things here. And I want you to pay attention as we're reading through this. I want you to pay attention to the word I. I can be a very powerful word. Yes. Think about it. It can be, when you're talking to somebody and they start using the word I a lot, I did this, I did that, I. What do you think? You're pretty full of yourself. Come on now. You know, and when we hear that word I've done this, and there's nothing wrong with people doing things, but when you hear the word I after so long, I mean, it's okay, you know, I don't want everybody to get skittish and don't say I no more. And please don't talk in the third person. I just get a kick out of people talking to themselves in the third person, you know. Chuck did that. Chuck, you know, no, I don't like that. it's funny for a second, and that's it, right? But when we think about the word I, it really makes us stop and pause for a minute. What's this about? But pay attention, okay? Look at this. Then Moses said, go back to verse 3. Moses said, "I will now turn aside to see this great sight." He's seen the mountain, the bush. Why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Now notice the term, who's using the word I here in these two scriptures? It's Moses. "I will turn aside." Now think about this too. This is something else to keep in mind when you're thinking about the word I. I puts it in a personal sense. I am accountable for my actions. Amen? Well, all of us know this. I am accountable. Right, Juju? I am accountable for my actions. I am accountable for what I do. I'm accountable for what I say. When we were kids, we blame it on something. You know, who messed up your room? I don't know. Right? I don't know. It meaning I didn't do it. Or I'm not admitting that I did it. You know, who ate the last cookie? I don't know. Or, you know, if you're like me, Sherry did it. You know? We'll blame. But here's the thing. Moses is saying, I'm going to do something. And when God called to him, you know, Moses, he goes, here I am. I am hearing the voice. I'm hearing the voice. A voice I've not heard like this before. And he said, here, I think it's very telling. But he said, here I am. I am means I am present. I am here. I am listening. Let's go on. We jump down. Verse 5. He said, do not draw near to this place. Take off your sandals, off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. But verse 6, it says, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now notice God's response. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I am. I am the one. You know, and they know the stories. This is one of the wonderful things about when you look at the history of Israel, the children, what we call the children of Israel. They passed on the stories. Even though Abraham was, you know, 400 plus years removed, they still knew Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They still knew the stories of their father Abraham, where many nations would come from. They still knew the promise, what God promised Abraham, and what he reiterated to Isaac and to Jacob, that he was the God that was going to make them great. And they understood the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. And God was telling Moses, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but I'm also the God of your father. He's reminding him who he is. We go on, verse 7. And it said, the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cries because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now look at the two eyes. I have surely seen, I know. Can I just pause for a moment and just use this on us? That God sees our oppression. God sees, you know, we could use that on us, I believe, that he has seen our oppression. He knows our sorrows. He knows the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knows what you and I are going through. Amen. He knows what we're facing. He knows the things that no one else knows. He knows. Can you say praise the Lord for that? You go on to verse 8. He said, I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now look at the eye. I have come down to deliver them. Can I just pause for a second and just put this on us again? He has come down to deliver us. Whatever you and I are going through, the great I am is coming down to deliver us from what we're going through. I believe we serve a God that still delivers and sets people free. We go on, verse 9. It says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. Church, we got to remind ourselves, our cries, our prayers, our times when we call out to God, he hears his people. He hears you when you cry to him. I know there's times we feel like we cry and we cry and we cry. We keep praying and we keep praying and praying, and we wonder if God really hears us because we see no results. But can we be assured today that when the children of God call upon him, he hears them. It may not happen right now. It may not happen, but God has a purpose in all things. And he hears our cries. We just got to keep crying and not give up. Amen. But he goes on and says, and I seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. Again, he emphasizes, I have seen. He sees us. Look at your neighbor and say, God sees you. Verse 10, he said, now come. Come now, therefore, and I, here we go, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Uh-oh. We love to hear about God saying, I see your oppression. I know you're what you're going through. I see. I know your sorrows. I know what you're, you know, I know everything going on. We want God to hear that, right? We want God, we want to know that God sees our difficulties. Yes, Lord. Oh, God hears me. Thank you, Lord, for telling me you see all this. But then the eye changes. These are things God was saying before, verse 10. I have seen. I have. God's taken upon. I'm things that he's taken possession of. But verse 10, notice it goes from him to Moses. I send you. I will send you. Y'all got quiet over there. Because you know what that means. It means, you know, it's that four-letter word. W-O-R-K. We don't like to hear about work. We don't like to hear about, you know, oh yes, God, hear me, deliver me, set me free, and help me from my oppression, and, you know, give me victory over my enemies, or just smite them all. But when God starts talking about, I will send you, oh, wait a minute, pause, time out. When do I get involved in this? Are you hearing me? Church, can we, if you, how many's ever read this before? Anybody? Anybody read your Bibles before? And if you've read your Bibles, you will find out that God will never do things without your involvement. Hello? God will never do anything without your involvement. Give, and it shall be given. Seek, that's your involvement, and you will find. Knock, that's your involvement, and it shall be open. God always looks from us some kind of involvement. If we want God to do something for us, then there's something I got to get involved in. And this is where a lot of people get church all messed up, and they get so frustrated with, I come to church, and I'm not getting anything out of it. But what are you putting in? If you're not putting in any, if you're not investing anything, your time, your talents, your tithe, then you won't expect, you're not going to get anything on your return. Come on now. Having a give me mentality is not biblical. Matter of fact, he says, give and it shall be given. I got to do something first. God says, draw nigh to me. That's my involvement, and I will draw nigh to you. And so what he's telling Moses is, look, he's letting Moses, he's setting him up. Yeah, I'm going to call it like it is. He's setting Moses up. I see your plight. I see what's going on with my people. I understand what's happening. Their cries has come up to me. Now, I'm going to send you. Kind of like something, you know, we tell our children when they're young. Yeah, I understand. I said, now go and do right. Go and do what you need to do. Go and do the right thing. And this is what God has put upon him. But here's the thing. This is something we got to, let's get back. I know that we're kind of playing with English right now. But he said, come therefore, I will send you. God's saying, I am sending you. I am going to direct you. I will, you know, and if I'm sending somebody, don't you think he's sending him with some authority or with sending him with something that he can take with him? That's something we got to remind. When God sends us to do something, he equips those he calls. If God, like God's called me to preach, he didn't give me, you can just go do it on your own. No, he gave me an anointing. He gave me a calling. Chuck years ago, even before Sherry, that was really timid. I, y'all don't believe that, I know, but he's a true. You think pastor's going to lie from the pulpit? I know some guys, they call it evangelistic speaking, but no, I don't do that. All right, let's go on. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, here's Moses' response. Like a lot of us, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And a lot of people in church today like to use that statement. Who am I? I'm a nobody. I can't do this. I can't do it as well as you can, or I can't do it as well as so-and-so can. You know what? If God wanted them, he would have called them. But we got to remind ourselves. Yeah, you may not do it like them, but you may do it better. Why do we think we got to measure up to people? That's the devil's trick in our minds, is that, oh, I can't preach like Brother Hill can preach, but you know what? Oh, Brother Hill can't preach like Chuck Farrell preaches. Oh, Brother Hill can't preach like Brother Gordon preaches. Come on now. You know, yeah, I can't play like he can. Wish I could. But there are some things he can't do that I can do. We got to quit trying to measure up with one another. Because God didn't make me to be like Tim Hill, and he didn't make Tim Hill to be like Chuck Farrell. He made us all to be like we. We are uniquely and wonderfully made. God made us in his image and in his likeness. And when we say, who am I? What we're saying is we're diminishing the very thing God called us to be. Amen. You ever remember years ago, I mean, this goes many decades ago, there's a t-shirt that was out that says, God don't make junk. I used to have one of those when I was a kid. Grandma bought it for me. God don't make junk. I love that shirt. But you know what? We should remind ourselves of that. God don't make junk. That means I'm not junk. That means I have a value. I have a purpose. I have a meaning. And I may not be able to do everything I'd like to do, but I can still do some things God called me to do. All of us have something that's in our wheelhouse, or in, that is our niche, that we are very good at, that nobody else can do. All of us are going to reach people that some aren't going to be able to reach, and we got to remind ourselves, so when we say, who am I? I'll tell you who you are. You are the beloved of God. You are the children of God. You are anointed of God. You're called of God. You are his child. He has called you for such a time as this. We have a world to reach. We have family to reach. We have people to tell the good news to. We have purpose, we have meaning, and we still have a work to do. Verse 12, he said, so, he said, I will certainly be with you. And thus, and this you shall, and this shall be a sign to you that I, notice this, verse 12, I will be with you. God's saying, I will be with you. Then he goes on, I have sent you. This is, shall be a sign. When you have brought the people up out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Now look at that. He gave him two eyes here. I will certainly be with you. Remember, meaning I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I will be with you to the very end. I will be with you. We got to remind ourselves, when God calls us to do something, he will be with us. Amen. When we step out on new territory, and I can tell you from experience, there's been a lot of new territory that Sherry and I have stepped on and stepped into over the last several years. And having to think that some of the path that we have been on, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. Do you ever think we'd end up where we are? Do you ever, you know, we think about all the different things and churches that maybe we tried out for and we didn't get, or what places we was hoping to go for and we didn't go. You know, and you always, you know, there's times you always wonder, what if? But I always look at, too, the fact that had it not been for that door closing, this door wouldn't have opened. Had
the Bible says. The steps of a good man are ordered of God. He orders our steps. We don't need to look at doors that are closed as rejections. It's just that's not the door. That's not the place. That's not what God had in mind. He's not saying it's not going to be hard sometimes. But God knows what's best. And that's what we got. So when God says, and then, you know, we know the story of Moses here. When he goes to Egypt, does he just walk up to Moses and say, "Let my people go"? And Pharaoh says, "Okay, here you go." No! We wish it would have been that easy. We all wish it would be that easy sometimes. But we also know sometimes we just got to stand in faith and stand our ground a little bit. It's going to take a few moments. It's going to take a little time. Yes, it's going to get frustrating. Yes, it's going to get tough. Yes, your faith may be shaken, but you've got to remain in your faith and stand your ground and don't waver in that faith, knowing that when God sends you, He will be with you, and if He calls you to do something, you do it. I will be with you, and I will show you that I have sent you. Listen, God's wanting to show us He is sending where He's sending us. Amen. And what He's wanting us to do. I believe everything we've heard and everything we've experienced over the last several months, I believe this statement above me, continue the legacy, is very relevant for us today. Yes. That there is a legacy behind us that we need to continue, meaning we just don't look in the past and see what God has done. We look to the future and see what God is going to do and start visualizing and walking in vision and walking with purpose, knowing how can we make this vision a reality. Amen. We have to look at the story of Moses. I mean, yeah, the vision was that the people of Israel, the people of God, would be free. The people of that, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was going to set these people free. That's the vision. You got to work sometime for it. Hello. Yeah. Let's go on. Verse 13. Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say then?" Notice Moses. When I come, now Moses has accepted this. He knows I'm going back to Egypt. I'm going to go face my past. Y'all love that part, don't you? When I say, when I come to the children of Israel, notice he's visualizing. When I go back to the children of Israel, when I go back to where I came from, when I go back and talk to those people, you see, he's taking ownership of this. When I go back, what should I say? Notice these two things. He's admitted that he's going, and he's admitting that he's speaking. How many times God's wanting us to get to that place? Admitting, "Lord, when I go do this, what shall I do? What shall I say?" Church, God's wanting I to do something for him. What shall I do? What shall I say? Or where shall I go? God's wanting all of us. We can just pin ourselves right there on the chest and say, "God, what do you want me to do? What shall I do for the Lord? What can I do for the kingdom of God?" We wonder why so many times the church seems fractured. The church seems out of balance. The church seems not fully functioning like it should. Well, the reason is easy. Gets in the way, or I refuses to go. I refuse to do what God calls me to do. And I'm speaking We need to start looking in the mirror and say, God, what can I do for you? Hello? Amen, Pastor. That's good preaching. Thank you very much. Verse 14, and God said, when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And he used this statement. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Let me read verse 15 and then we'll back up for a second. Verse 15 says, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. But let's back up for a second, verse 14. Why would he say, I am? What is his name? I am. Who sent you? I am. Now, I know a lot of us today would look at that individual. Look at Moses, okay? Let's just use Moses. We'd look at Moses and scratch our head and say, what? Because we've been trained in school through the English language that I am basically sets up something to come, right? I am tired. I am sleepy. I am hungry. I am something. Putting I'm not trying to get into English today because I know I'll mess it up, but I am follows something else. I the man, right? Am I right, honey? Help me out there. Keep me straight. Leslie's getting A's in English, aren't you? Okay, you can help me, right? I is the noun. Am is the what? Y'all gonna look that up, aren't you? But I am. It's unfinished. It's unfinished. Joey, the I am has come. I am what? I am. I am that I am. And when you look at that statement in its entirety, in its holistic sense, I am that I am. You know what I see? There's no need for another. There's no need for anything else. I am that I am means the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am that I am. There is no other need for anything else but the I am. The I am tells me, the I am that I am means that he is my beginning and he's my end. He's Alpha and the Omega. There's no need for anything else, but we still, in our minds, we believe that we've got to have something else. But Scripture tells us this. When we look at the I am, God has given us the answer. I am, he says, I am that I am. We say, I am what? The rest of the book tells us who he is. Scriptures tell us that he is self-existent, that he is self-sufficient. He is eternal. He is infinite. I am omnipotent. I am omnipresent. I am omnipotent. I am wise. I am sovereign. I am holy. I am righteous and just. I am true. I am faithful. I am light. I am good. I am, are you getting it? I am merciful. I am gracious. Who is he? I am love. I am spirit. I am healer. I am hope. I am peace. I am joy. I am shield. I am your high tower. And I am your portion. He is the I am that I am. He is our all in all. He is everything that we need. There is no need for another. He is the great I am that I am. But he don't just stop there. We look a little deeper into Scripture. We begin to get some other words that begin to jump out to us, like the word Elohim. Elohim means God, referencing God's power and might.
We see in Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. But we don't stop there. We look at another word. The word Adonai means Lord, referencing the lordship of God. When we see in Malachi 1 and verse 6, it says, "The son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am the master, where is my reverence?" Says the Lord of hosts. He is our Elohim. He is our Adonai. But we don't stop there. We go a little further because he tells us about Jehovah, the word Jehovah. We know the word Jehovah. We've heard the word Jehovah a lot because it also references the word Yahweh, referencing God's divine salvation. It tells us that he is the God that saves. He is the God that sets free. But then we see some other words throughout Scripture that gives us the idea of who the I Am is. We look at Jehovah Makadosh, the Lord is my sanctifier. We look at Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, as the psalmist references. We look at Jehovah Shammah, meaning the Lord is present. In Ezekiel 48 and 35, it says all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from the day shall be the Lord is there. The Lord is present. We need to remind ourselves when we feel like nobody else is around. We feel like we're all alone. We just got to remember the Lord. Shammah, he is there. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will be with us to the very end. Can you say amen? But then I'm also remembering the word Jehovah Rapha, meaning the Lord is my healer. When I'm sick, when I'm going through some affliction in my body, I call upon the I Am that I am. He is the I Am, reminding me he is my healer. He reminds me I am Jehovah Rohi. I am the one that has come to heal you. Then we go on and see Jehovah Tiskadu. The Lord is our righteousness. He is the Lord in Jeremiah 23. This is the days of Judah. You will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. But then we don't stop there. I like this one. As a matter of fact, there's a song I love to sing. It's called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. You remember that song back in the day? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. Oh, I thank God that it seems like where I don't know where what's going to happen or how it's going to happen, God shows up. Jehovah Jireh shows up and provides for me. Are you getting this, the I Am? Jehovah, we go on. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. In Exodus 17, it says, "Then Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner," meaning Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. He is the one I will walk with. He is the one I will walk under. Under his banner, I have pledged my allegiance. Under him, I will pledge my devotion because he is Jehovah, my salvation. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He has proven himself time and time again. Then we come into another Jehovah, Jehovah Shalom. There's times we need that Jehovah Shalom to show up in the middle of our storm because Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is my peace. And when I'm going through a storm, when you're going through, when it seems like all hell's come against you, you need to call upon Jehovah Shalom to come in and speak peace over the storm that's raging against you. He reminds us it may come, but it won't overtake you. He won't put on any more upon us that we're able to not able to withstand. But he still reminds us he is Jehovah Shalom. When all hell breaks loose, he comes in and speaks peace. Then we go on a little further, and we see Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 6, it says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and its train filled the robe of the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. We need to sound the alarm that the whole earth is full of his glory. Even though we wonder what's going on in our world, what's going on in our nation, let me tell you what's going on. Jesus is coming soon. All hell's breaking loose because Satan knows his time is short. It's not time for the church to cow down. It's not for the church to tuck its tail and go hide in the corner. It's the time for the church to stand up and say, Jehovah is reign supreme. He is the Lord of all glory, and he is coming soon.
Amen.
Church, if we don't get that, if we don't understand, and if we don't have this stirring in our spirit that Jesus is coming soon, it's time for you to check your spiritual pulse. It's time for you to check yourself in God and say, God, what am I missing here? Because I believe God is stirring the church. He's churning up the waters, and he's breaking up that fallow ground. And those that know, those that are looking and waiting his appearance, those that are reading their word, those that are seeking him and following after him, they feel this. They know the earth, that groaning pains are happening. Those birth pains are happening, and that something's getting ready to happen in the spiritual that's going to set this world on its side. And we got to remind ourselves of this. That's why the Bible says, and I really, this to me, this scripture is becoming more and more prevalent. I don't have time to get into that, but later on, someday I will. Many are called, but few are chosen. And we wonder what that really means. And one translation says many are invited, but few accept. Salvation is for all. Few accept that call to salvation. But the question is this. It's not necessary. Many people are called. Many people even are called themselves Christians. Even though you call yourselves Christians, doesn't guarantee you a ticket to heaven. You can call yourselves all day long. And call yourself whatever you want to call. I mean, come on now. In this world, we like to tag this. I mean, we see people in this world today. I identify as this. I identify as, you know, I'm not a man. I identify as a woman. I identify as that. I don't care what you think you are or what you're calling yourself. Facts of the matter, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a boy and girl. Come on now, there's no gender identity problems here. I mean, we all learned it, you know. If you haven't figured it out by now, you never gonna figure it out, I guess, I don't know. But the facts is this. You see what the world's trying to do, what Satan's trying to do? Confuse people. Create confusion. Create this confusion like, I don't know who I am. Well, if you don't know who you are, let's go to the one that knows who he is.
Amen.
He'll tell you who you are. He'll remind you who you are. He'll remind you of what you are. And he'll remind you of your purpose. As we walk through all these things of who he is. I mean, there's more we can go on. Elion, El Shaddai, Elion. All these remind us who God is. But there's something else. I want to finish with this. God to tell us who we are. Yeah. Who am I? Let's go back to Moses' question. Who am I? Who am I? And that's what a lot of people are, that's what the world is asking right now. Who am I? What am I? Who am I? What am I supposed to do? What am I? Can I tell you who you are? You are called of God. He calls you. He tells us in John 15, 16, you did not call me, but I called you. I called you. I ordained you. I anointed you. I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that you should go and be productive. You're called of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you're called of God. Not only am I called, I'm sent. Jesus, God told Moses, I sin, I will send you. Well, we go to the New Testament in Matthew 10:16. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you. I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Well, there's times I feel like a sheep in the pack, in the midst of wolves.
Yeah.
Wolves are vicious, especially when they're hungry, especially when they see food coming. God is sending us into a world. God's sending us, and we sometimes, "God, why would you send me into that?" Because they need the gospel just like you did.
Sure.
They need the love of Jesus just like you needed. They need salvation just as much as you needed salvation. And we need to look at other people. Don't look at them and say, "Well, you get what you deserve." Come on now. We got to love them like Jesus loves them. Did Jesus die for selective people? Certain people? No, that's not scripture. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave, that whosoever believes in him. That whosoever means it's open. It's open to all these crooked politicians in Washington, or state capitals, local governments. We need to quit looking at this thing as a Republican-Democrat thing. Can I just say that? We need to quit looking at that. They all need Jesus.
Amen.
They all need Jesus, period.
Yes,
and if they don't, I don't care if you got, well, I don't care what your label is. To me, there's people that wear that label more than they do the Christian label. Shame on us. Hello? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray first for their salvation. Secondly, for them to make good decisions. Hello? He has sent us. Look at your neighbor and say, "God's sending me." You see, I didn't say, you know. Now, if I would have said, okay, let's do this. Look at your neighbor and say, "God sent you." That sounded louder than the other way. We have no problem. God's sending you. You know what Mama used to tell us when we pointed? There's three more pointing back at you. We have no problem pointing. God sent you. God's sending you. God's sending you. We got to turn that around and say, "God's sending." Can we say it one more time? God is sending me. Look at your neighbor and tell them that again. There, yeah, you're getting it. That sounds a lot more confident there. Let's go on. God, I am loved. You know you're loved. You're loved. We can say John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." God loved you so much. That's the ultimate expression of love. But you know what? Here's the thing. Do you know the difference that you're loved versus you're not loved? Do you know the difference? We should. I mean, I know Sherry loves me, and we pick at each other all the time. You know, who loves who more? We all know I love her more, but that's fine. We'll just leave it right there. And I know husbands, you probably do the same thing, you know, but that's, you know we love more, you know. But the fact is this. We know we love. I know she loves me. She knows I love her. There's no question. But I also know there's people that don't love me so much. I know the difference when someone loves me and someone don't. And when you know you're loved, you walk differently. You act differently. You talk differently. I mean, are you going to go around? And if you know the people that love you and the people that don't, who do you think you're going to be around? people will love you. Church, when this should remind us, when people come in, they need to know they're loved. Not just God. Yeah, Jesus loves you. No, they need to know we love them. People know the difference whether they're loved or not. And if we know we're loved, then let's show others that they're loved just like we are. Let's go on. I am to be a spiritual leader. All of us are called to be a spiritual leader. I believe that's true. Fathers, mothers in the home, you're called to be a spiritual leader. Lead your family in the ways of God. I get so bothered with some people sometimes that, oh, I just want to be my kids' friend. I just want to be their best friend. Well, when they get out of the house, you can be their best friend. Amen. But as long as they're in your house, you're the parent. Amen. Be the parent. I mean, my kids will be here in a few weeks. You can ask them, did dad give you everything you wanted? They'll tell you with a resounding no. Because I wasn't out to be their parent. Or their best friend. I was out to be their parent. Right. Raise them. Church day is church day. Hello?
Amen.
The scripture says, as for me in my house, where we will serve the Lord. Joey, I took that literal. I love baseball. I love baseball. Y'all know that. I'm flying high right now. My Cardinals are doing good. I'm doing really good right now. We're right now in the playoffs. I'm excited. I'm praising God for my Cardinals doing so well. Sorry about the Reds, but hey, But how shame on me if I go and, of course, I'm a pastor and, he wouldn't do that, but shame on me if I'd go stay home from church to watch a ball game. Come on now. A lot of people do that. It's the big game. We can't miss it. They got DVRs. Come on now. Lord, I've been in church during Super Bowl games. I've been in church during World Series games. I don't have my phone on me right now, but, didn't mean I didn't check scores every now and then. I ain't going to say I didn't. They're winning good. I'm going to preach good. But church, we got to be leaders. Spiritual leaders. Lead our, yes, fun. There's fun. There's things. We need getaways. We got to, we all need getaways. I get it. We all, and we're not going to be here every Sunday or every week, But we need to remind our family that Sunday is the Lord's day.
Amen.
And we go, that's what we do. Because here's the thing. Hopefully my son, his girl's left today, so pray for my son. His fiance left back to Chicago. He should be in church this about right now. I know my youngest daughter is. My oldest daughter's working, but I'm praying for that job to go bye-bye so she can have Sundays off. But two of my three are in church right now. That makes me pretty happy. They don't have dad grab them by the ear and say, you're going to church. No, they know. It's church time. Sundays is for church. Sundays is for serving God. And church, we all need to do that. It's remind people, Sundays is for serving God. If we don't give God his time, if we don't give God a time out of our schedule for him to worship him and to love him, then something's wrong. We don't know the I am that I am. We can't stand upon all the things I've talked about. I got to hurry, but we got to be spiritual leaders. Let me hurry. We need to take up the cross and follow him. We're called to take up the cross. We're called to keep our hands upon the plow. The Bible says in Luke 9:62, Jesus said to them, or him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Think about that. Now, I know we all don't do the hand plows anymore, but think about that concept for a second. If you're plowing a field and you keep looking back, how's your rows going to be? Not good planning going on. Well, why do you need to keep looking straight? So you keep the rows right. Keep them straight. We don't need to keep looking over our shoulder wondering what happened in the past. The only time you look back is when you get done with that row and you look back, did I do it right? That's what we're doing right now. We're stepping back looking, did we do it right? Did they do it right? And I think they did it right because we still have it today, right? But finally, the thing is, I am called to tell others about Jesus. Lord, who shall I say has sent me? I am has sent me. And whatever you're facing, and Trish, come on up here. If you don't mind, please. And maybe you're going through something and you need the I am to show up. I want to remind you today, the I am is here. The I am. The great I am. I am holy. I am healer. He reminds us. I am your comfort. I am your all in all. Whatever you need today, God is here. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, I just come to you right now. Lord, we're seeking the I am. The I am that I am. Lord, while some may not know fully who you are, Lord, I pray today they begin to get an awakening to who you are. You've come today to show them what you really are about and who you really are. And Father, there's some today that have been playing church, that have been playing around, and you're looking at them and saying, I am here to show you my glory. I am here to show you my full power. I am here to show you all that I have. And Lord, I just ask you right now. I ask you, Lord God, to show yourself in all your splendor and all your power and all your glory to those that seek after you today. Father, Lord, look at every heart, every life, every person today. See what they're going through. See what they need. God, you know exactly. But also give them a peace today, Lord God, that you're here to meet their needs and to touch their life. Have your way, Lord, right now, I pray. Every eye still, I'm just going to ask you right now, the Lord, the I am, is here to meet your needs and to touch you. If you're here this morning, you're going through something, or maybe you just aren't sure about what God really is about, I dare you. I challenge you to step out and see what he's about. If you're here today and have a need, I want you to come and stand right now. The I am is here. The Jehovah Jireh, the Jehovah Shalom, the Elyon, El Shaddai, whatever you need, the I am is here. Would you come right now? Let God be God. Let the I am that I am do what he wants to do in your life. Lord, have your way right now. Father, you know each one. You know every life, every situation. God, we just wait one more moment. Now, Lord, I ask you right now. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Thank you. get some ladies up here, please. Church, while the rest, I want you just to be asking this question. Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for you?
There'll be